all these teachings that we have been receiving over the years, in reality, are inspired by the Spirit of God. They are messages inspired by the Spirit of God. And these are messages that minister to us, seeking to establish us in the truth. Truth, like we know, is something that is, you know, from God's perspective, the way God sees things, the way God created things, the way God generated things. God never made a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. And I can assure you, God never created man to suffer or go through that, all the hell he goes through. And because man deviated from the truth, he's encompassed with so much pain and so much sorrow. And you need to open your ears to hear people cry. You need to open your ears to hear the lament of people. Open your eyes to see people in tribulation. People are really living in tribulation. And so you have the Spirit of God coming, the Savior of the world, seeking to awaken man back into that dimension that God, you know, ordained for us. So we have different kind of communications by the Spirit. See, different tongues, languages, different gifts, you know, from the invisible, you know, realm of God, from God, to kind of edify us and bring us back to that place where we can, you know true life. Life is all about, you know, enjoyment. It's all about peace. It's all about abundance. Life is God. And you know, we have to experience that life of God. So God, you know, speaks to us in visions, in dreams. And then, you know, all those things we see and we hear today are reality, things that come to pass. Things that come to pass in our lives. If we can simply adhere to the voice of the Spirit. See, what the Spirit is saying is, wake up, wake up, wake up. Wake up, wake up. All the teachings, wake up to divinity, wake up to immortality. Wake up to the beauty that you are. Wake up to your spirituality, you know. That's what the Spirit is doing. Wake up, wake up, wake up. That's why you have the loud trumpet. The trumpet is there without loud sound to kind of wake you up, you know, ear-splitting sound to wake you up from your deep sleep. Because man is in a deep sleep, you know. When you are deep asleep, it's like dead. Deep asleep in mortality. Deep asleep, you know, not realizing the boundless creature that he is. Oh, hallelujah. Job chapter 33 is one of the, you know, the Bible is actually just one small book that goes repeating the same things again and again. Everywhere you go around in the Bible, everything is the same. Everything just points to one thing: a return back to God, a return back to the image and to the glory of God, a return back to the majesty bestowed on you, a return back, you know, to your princely status from the beginning. That is all the Bible is saying, right from the word Genesis. You got all allegories and parables, you know, ministering on how a man can get back into God's kingdom. Praise God. If Genesis, you know, says God created heaven and earth, you see, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. That's how the Bible starts. And if you are spiritually alert, you discover that that is not even a physical creation. God is not talking about the, you know, creating this material world, actually. So that heaven and that earth God created, it's reality, a man. It's you, it's I, it's all these are parables. God created heaven and earth, and suddenly we see in the next verse that heaven and earth was what? Was covered in darkness. Desolation and, you know, darkness over the face of the deep. So if you study those root words right from the original Hebrew manuscripts, it speaks about desolation. You know, it talks about distress, anguish of soul. When it says darkness was over the face of the deep, it talks about the deep spiritual ignorance in which man finds himself. So already we see right from the first verse in Genesis chapter 1 to the second verse, that's already something has already happened, because God did not create darkness. God does not create something that is impossible, that is imperfect, something that is flawed. God does not create that. So something happened already between verse 1 and verse 2. See, and now you have the beginning of saying, let there be light. Who created the darkness? Who formed the darkness? It's written that in God there is no shadow of turning. In Him is light. So where did the darkness come from? It's already there. We are seeing how man left his first state, how man deviated from the original state in God and slipped into abject darkness, deep sleep. When you close your eyes and you are deep sleep, isn't it darkness? And when you are asleep, you begin to live in a dream world. Isn't it? You begin to dream. Dream, 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 dream. When you are living in this material world, living in relation to the beggarly elements of this world, you are what? You are asleep, deep asleep. Darkness. So we see God going to creation. Let there be light. So let us create, let us do the separation in the firmament. Let there be, you know, life here and there. And God going to create man. Oh, praise God. So you see already the same instruction, God seeking to restore man back to that original creation, to that original state that is from the beginning. Oh, hallelujah. When you say a new heavens and a new earth, God has promised a new heavens and a new earth. Its reality is referring back to that original heaven and original earth. It is new heavens and new earth to you because you are forgotten. And your deep sleep as a human being, you are forgotten the reality of that original heaven and original earth that God placed you in. Praise God. So we can see everything in the Bible speaks about restoring man back into his glory in God. So because man in reality is an integral part of the Godhead. So man is a pure spiritual entity. See, man is not a physical terrestrial creature. Man is a pure spirit being. You suffer many things, we suffer as men, because we think that we are material beings, we are humans. And we live, you know, a life in falsehood as men. Praise God. Hallelujah. So God wants to awaken His sons. Awaken them. When you awake, you discover yourself back as God. See, the psalmist, Psalm 17 says, I shall be satisfied when I awaken your likeness. So if you want satisfaction, if you want joy, if you want peace, if you want the all power, you just have to awaken God. Man-made solutions will not give you the answer. So you're gathering money, you're gathering knowledge, and all the things you do as men cannot give you that desire that you seek. It's all about allowing the workings of the Spirit lead you back into that place of life. Praise God. So you have in Bible, you have the stories of Noah, the stories of Lot. You have the stories of Abraham. Abraham was received a call to leave his father's house, leave his mother's house, leave you know, the people that actually modeled him. And that voice that led Abraham is the same voice with which Jesus Christ called the people, his disciples, follow me. Because Abraham followed the voice, and today God expects that we hear the voice of the Spirit saying, follow me, follow me, follow me out of, you know, and I will lead you into a dimension of light. I will lead you into a spiritual dimension. I will lead you into a place of perfection. I will lead you back to the beginning, to the pinnacle of Zion, where you can realize your likeness, your semblance to that of God, where you can realize your names, the name of the Father, actually imprinted in you. You rediscover it because it's there, but it has been hidden under the rubble of your human, you know, sense of life. It has been hidden under the rubble of your mortality. Awake, awake, thou that sleepest. So it's all the same message. Getting the sons of God back to that place, and, you know, letting them realize that the freeness of that life of the man of the Spirit. We are spiritual beings. We are invisible beings. See, we are not subject to this, how do I put it, parameters of, you know, that govern this world that we live in today. We are not of this world, like Jesus said. We are not of this world. Praise God. It's more than being theoretical. It's more than being philosophical. It's rather about walking in this reality today as you hear the Spirit calling you in this hour. Praise God. So go back to Job chapter 33, which, like I told you, is one of those verses that are very, very rich with revelation. See, Job chapter 33, see the words of Elihu saying, when deep sleep, see, falls upon men. You know men are asleep? Oh, hallelujah. When deep sleep falls on men, when tribulation encompasses man on all sides, great tribulation, pain in his bones, when man, as man begins to perish, as his flesh begins to waste away, and as his soul begins to draw nearer to the destroyers, God is always out there seeking to catch man's attention. Praise God. God is on your case day and night. God is on your case day and night. Day and night, you have the messengers of God walking around you, around the clock, seeking to awaken you from your deep sleep. So have you seen a team of doctors trying to revive somebody who is dying? Nurses and doctors, and you know how the whole place is in confusion, and they're all working to get you awake. That is what is happening in the spirit realm. See, the reality, there is war in heaven over you. There is war in heaven. War in heaven trying to cast cast down the influence of Satan in your life. And what is the influence of Satan? Satan is that spirit that dampens the understanding of men. He darkens the understanding of men and causes them to slip into a sense of being terrestrial, mortal Christians, materially minded Christians. Satan deceives man and causes man to lose awareness of that free, bountiful, spiritual nature of man. Satan causes man to be conformed to this material world. It induces man to go to sleep with his poisonous, poisonous venom. It causes man to go to deep sleep. So if there be an angel, I'm going back to Job chapter 33, he says, if there be an angel, one out of 1,000, who praise God. To show man unto man is righteousness. One out of 1,000. So one out of the myriad of God's ministers, God's angels. Praise God, you have to understand angels when you hear angels in the Bible. See, when one angel speaks, the whole host of heaven is speaking. When one angel speaks, God speaks. Oh, hallelujah. When God appears, angels appear. When the angels of God appear, God appears. There are no God here and angels there. They are one. It's all talking about the invisible body of God. Oh, praise God. Many people don't know Jesus Christ walked as an angel upon the earth. Jesus was an angel. An angel is a servant, a minister. And in the realm of the spirit, the servants are also the sons of God. Praise God. We are both servants. We are sons of God. We are kings. We are priests. In the realm of the spirit, you are everything. Hallelujah. So we have these angels, these ministers walking around the clock, seeking to impart light, impart truth into man, so that he can deliver man from going down the pit of destruction. Oh, hallelujah. The psalmist says that the Lord heals all my diseases. See, the Lord revives me from the pit and crowns me with what? With life. Thou hast delivered me from the waterless pit. That is the pit in which the men of this age are perishing daily. It's a very subtle dimension, a dimension of death. That is where this world inhabits. Everything looks so real there, everything looks so glamorous there, but it's the realm of the dead. Oh, praise God. In the realm of the dead, the end of the things that we see in this world is sorrow, pain, and destruction. What shall it profit a man if he gains this whole world and loses his soul? Let us not go the way of Adam, but rather listen to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. See it. Blessed is he who has an ear to hear what the Spirit saith to the church. Blessed is he who can hear this messenger of God, one out of 1,000, speaking with the voice of the hosts of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Awake, awake, thou that sleepest. Oh, praise God. Job chapter 33 says it all. If that man that is perishing, languishing away, his flesh is being wasted. See, doctor told you have a cancer, that you have diabetes. Something said that your body is not functioning well. Your whole family is in tatters. Everything looks to be you know, unrepairable, destroyed, and you are wasting away like the adulterous woman. You are going around from place to place seeking solace, seeking healing. You've gone around solution to solution, book to book, philosopher to philosopher. Some people, they leave, they leave the school, the Bible church, they go into end time, from end time they go into mysticism, from mysticism they go into this. And you know, you keep going around in circles, you will never come to the knowledge of the truth until you can just be still and allow the impartation of the messenger from above. Now we're talking of the invisible body of God, which is the Spirit of God. Praise God. If you can allow the vibes, the flow of the Spirit, let it take a hold on you, you begin to awaken out of the realm of mortality. Because that picture of the man perishing in the pit in Job chapter 33 is actually the picture of a man who's living in the consciousness of mortality. See, he's living in the flesh, walking in the flesh, not understanding the true nature that is made of, his true substance that is made of. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. See, if you think that you are mortal, if you think that you are flesh and blood, you will also perish along with your with the physical body. You know that? But if you know your true nature and you understand the inner man of the Spirit, you can live on forever, never dying. Things might change without, things might be posted, they might be moved here and there from without, but you can stand in a consciousness that never passes away, and that's the consciousness of the Son of God. I tell you, some of you standing here will not taste of death. Oh, praise God. The some of you standing here in this place of life, standing in the Spirit with me, will not taste of death. Hallelujah. Some of you will not taste of death. This is why the words of Jesus, and these words are true, they are real. See, this is the voice of the messenger of God, the voice of one out of 1,000. Testifying of things he has seen, he has tasted of in the spirit realm of God. 1 out of 1,000. If thou would but listen to the voice of the Spirit, you shall be revived out of the pit. Job chapter 33. You shall come out from that dimension of death. Your flesh shall be once more fresher than the buttocks of a baby. Have you touched the buttocks of a baby before? That freshness will be restored back to you. Hallelujah. You shall return back to the days of your youth. The days of your youth are the days when you walked in the Spirit. The days of singing, the days of your joy. Oh, hallelujah. You will return back to that day when you are not, you know, burdened with problems and pains of humanity. When you are free. He will set you free. Hallelujah. He will set you free. Praise God. Your eyes shall see the light of life. You shall live once more in the light of life, in the light of the living. And you shall shout for joy in his presence. Shout once more as the morning stars of God, declaring the praise of God to all generations. This is the work of God day and night, as men are deep asleep, always seeking to communicate with man. See, to lay hold on eternal life, lay hold, return back to your original estate in that light, in that man of the Spirit. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And men are deep asleep. Very rarely do men hear. They become dull of hearing. And we can see in Isaiah and in the parables of Jesus that when a man hears, then he can be healed. Then the heart can be turned back to God and is healed and converted. It's how you can perceive the voice of the Spirit and awaken into the realm of Eden, where you can escape the snares of this world, where you can escape the corruption and the pain and the sorrows that is in this world, and rediscover that true life of God, that thing that God ordained for you from the foundation of the world. It's a wonderful thing. Praise God. Like we know the story of Jesus at Gethsemane, isn't it? When he prayed. Bible says he prayed fervently. He prayed what? Fervently. A determined, he prayed fervently. And to the extent that he was dripping blood. What kind of groaning is that? What kind of prayer is that? Why was he praying so fervently? Why was he so engrossed in that kind of prayer? Because he was praying to the Father to keep him awake. Listen to read the psalmist. The psalmist prays that God does not allow the eyes to go to sleep. Because when the eye goes to sleep, you just go into a dream world and you live a life of vanity, life in vain. Praise God. While Jesus Christ was going, where were the disciples? While Jesus Christ was praying in the garden, groaning and praying, where were the disciples? Where were they? Can somebody answer? Disciples were deep asleep. They were what? Deep asleep. While Jesus Christ was praying, groaning, the disciples were what? Deep asleep. And these are the same disciples that earlier on said they will follow Jesus wherever he goes. But they were deep asleep. Peter had told Jesus earlier on, look, I will follow you anywhere. And Jesus had told him clearly that before the cock crows, before the dawning of the morning, you will deny me 3 times. Jesus Christ was groaning, they were all asleep. And likewise, man, the world today is asleep. Even you come to a place where you discover that even your brethren are asleep. The people you fellowship with are asleep. And at times you have to stand in the gap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was groaning, keeping himself awake. Keeping himself in a state of spiritual watchfulness, a spiritual alertness. Keeping himself in the knowledge of the truth. Because when you go to sleep, you actually deny the Lord of glory. Those who are asleep after this world and reality, they deny the Christ. When Peter's, denied Christ 3 times, so it's the same thing that the whole world does today. You can point an accusing finger at Peter and say he was a betrayer. But I tell you, when men sleep, they are already denying the Lord of glory, which is the Christ within. When you don't walk in the reality of the creature that God created you to be, when you don't walk in the truth, in your true identity as a child of God, as a child, a man of the Spirit, you are actually denying the Lord of glory. Don't you know that in your true state that you are the Lord of glory? Don't you know that you are the King of glory? Oh, praise God. Don't you know that you are the Son of God? When you walk as a mortal, when you sleep in this world, you are simply denying, the Christ. Oh, praise God. So we are admonished to keep the name. So we are coming to confess the name, not to deny the name. See, we do this by walking in the spirit, being awake in the spirit. Watch and pray. It's, you know, being fasting and prayer is all about being, you know, awakening in the spirit, alert in the spirit. See, fasting and prayers, like we know, is all about exercising yourself in the things of the Spirit of God, not in the flesh. No more walking in flesh, but walking in the Spirit. He says that if you will do my will, speak my words, do the things that please the Spirit, I the Spirit, not your own self, the flesh. See, that is the fast that is acceptable to the Lord, and I'll cause your light to shine, to arise in darkness. See, your desert places will be turned into the Garden of Eden, and I'll cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. See, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It's saying here that which every man must awaken and begin to confess the Christ, walk once more in your true identity as the man of the Spirit. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Walk once more as God. It's a great thing, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Now, when Jesus Christ was praying, something happened. It is written that he contacted with an angel while he was praying. So Jesus Christ contacted with an angel, with the messenger of God. Now, the messenger of God which Jesus Christ contacted is always present. I have personally met with these messengers of God over the years, again and again and again. They are always present. But men rarely perceive them. Men merely see these messengers because they are what? Distracted. They are asleep. If the disciples were awake with Jesus, they would have seen that angel and received that same spiritual impartation that Jesus Christ received. With God, there is no partiality. God gives freely to every man, just like the Son gives to everyone that comes in contact with the Son, benefits from the Son. That is the nature of God. Does not withhold anything from any man. If the disciples were awakened at that same place with Jesus, they would have also received of that same impartation. Praise God. So Jesus was able to contact with the messenger of God, with the angel of God, one out of 1,000. When you are contacting that angel, you are contacting the whole host of heaven. You are contacting heaven. You are contacting God. Praise God. And you know, there's a flow of the anointing coming from that body that flows into you, that quickens you. Hallelujah. That same breath of God, that quickening power of God, gets in contact with you and revives you from the dead, from the grave. You see, all we need as men is an awakening. It's a quickening. So that time we pray for money, we pray for this, we pray. Look, those things are needed, they are important, but the major thing that really counts is how you can awaken and rediscover this precious, you know, this pearl of great price that is within you, your true spirituality. Because along with it comes all the power in heaven and earth. It comes your peace, your joy. That dominion that was lost is restored back to you. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. That is what our prayers should be directed at. How to get that blessing, how to get that, you know, that power, that anointing without measure, how to receive from above, how to contact with the messenger of God, how to marry ourselves with the message, with the trumpet of God, how we can allow the trumpet of God cooking us. Hallelujah. It is written in Daniel, the last chapter of Daniel, that in the last day, the archangel Michael, the prince of God's people, will stand in the midst of his people. Now, when he stands in the midst of God's people, what is he doing? He's simply transmitting the revelation light from the heart of God to bring about an awakening to those who are sleeping in the dust. Praise God. The Bible says in Daniel, the last chapter of Daniel, that when Angel Michael stands in the midst of the saints, you begin to see a resurrection from the dead. Those who are asleep in the dust begin to awake. See, and they begin to shine as the stars in the firmament. They begin to do exploits in the name of the Lord. So when you talk about the stars of God, shining as a star, it's those who have rediscovered their light attributes. The light of life in them. They have discovered the inner man, which is the man of light. They have rediscovered themselves, because you are light beings. You are creatures of light. You are stars of God. You are the morning stars of God. It is written that, you know, to him that overcomes, I will give the morning star. You will rediscover your nature. You can discover, if you can overcome the illusion of your terrestrial life, because it's a lie. It's a lie. What you think you are in this world is a lie. See it? You think you are sick is a lie. You think that you are miserable is a lie. You think that you are worthless is a lie. You are not worthless. You are a child of God. You are the majesty, the fullness of God being made manifest in this dimension. Listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church, not what man is telling you, not what your situations around you in this world is telling you, but rather listening to what the Spirit saying to the church. Praise God. And I tell you, there's no situation too grave, too tough for the Lord, too much for the Lord. The deeper in hell you have made your bed, the more the Lord gives you grace to, you know, to get you out of there. Nothing is impossible with God and his messengers. No matter how deep in hell you've made your bed, the power of God is able to raise you up and cause you to stand in life. Oh, praise God. It's a wonderful thing. So Jesus Christ came in contact with this messenger of the Lord. He was strengthened with this messenger of the Lord, this invisible messenger, which is actually there for every man, but you must be alert. You must be willing, you know, to receive from it. It's there. This is the same messenger that appeared to Elijah when he was, you know, traveling 40 days in the wilderness. No food, no water. Praise God. And what happened to Elijah? Elijah came to a place where he was weak and tired and, you know, about to sleep off, and this angel came to tap him. Wake up, man of God, wake up, wake up. Wake up, prophet Elijah, wake up. And you know, opened his eyes, and the angel showed him bread and water. And he ate that bread and that water, and that thing, you know, restored his energy and caused Elijah, that bread and water, empowered Elijah to go the extra, you know, miles to get to Mount Horeb. 40 days journey. He was empowered with angel's bread. Angel's bread is simply the word of God. It's impartation from above. Praise God. We all need strengthening in the spirit, isn't it? Hallelujah. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But we need a strengthening from above. Hallelujah. Everybody wants to be son of God, isn't it? Everybody hear this message and hey, praise God, I'm a child of God. I'm in the image of God. I'm in the image of God. You even have stickers on cars. I'm in the image of God. So you go to places before you can even say what to preach, they have already quoted all the scriptures for you. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. And you know, you see, people have just become, you know, what do you call it? How would I put it? Machines that just simply recite the letters of the Bible. How many people are able to receive the pure spiritual substance from the Lord Himself? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. So Elijah received strengthening. Jesus received strengthening. And there are many, many other examples in the Bible. We don't want to go into that now. I just want us to understand that we have at our disposal the whole heavens working to bring us back to that perfection of God that we lost in Adam. Oh, hallelujah. If you but listen to what the, you know, the Spirit is saying to this, to the church in this hour, you can be revived out of the pit and once more twinkle as a star at the right hand of God. You can be revived from the pit and once more sit upon the throne of God as God. You can be revived from the pit and rediscover your light garments. You can appear perfect without sin consciousness. Perfect before the presence of God. Without a poverty consciousness. Without being miserable anymore. You can come to the place of perfection. And you can discover the delightsome land called Eden. It's all within your reach, only as you can just exercise yourself for a moment. It's a short time, you know. See, if you exercise yourself for a couple of years, it's a short time, you know that? Compared to eternity. Jesus Christ turned to the disciples that, couldn't you just wait for a few, couldn't you just pray for a short while? Oh, praise God. Pray for grace. See, God will give you grace. He will give you escape. You have a financial problem. Your creditors are after you. You have fine family problems. God will strengthen you and cause you to escape all of that. God is able. If you would just but listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. Praise God. The messages to the seven churches actually were sounded by seven angels. We're talking of seven angels to the seven churches. Praise God. These are not physical angels. These are not seven literal angels. It's simply talking about a body of people who walk in the light. It's talking about an innumerable host who are gathered unto the name of the Lord. Paul is in that number. Peter is in that number. Jesus is in that number. And they are all there to edify you. All there at our disposal, you know, to strengthen us and keep us in the way in which to go. Hallelujah. Let us be encouraged. See, the Bible says in Proverbs that the man that loves sleep will come to poverty. Don't love sleep. When you sleep, you're actually living the life in the flesh. See, ignorant of the things of the Spirit. But the one that loves sleep comes to what? To poverty. Love not sleep. See, wash your eyes. Hallelujah. Wash your eyes. Wake up, you sleepy eyes. Hallelujah. Stand still and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. Allow that voice lead you back to the place of all power upon Mount Zion. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we glorify your name. Blessed be your name, O God. Your word has gone forth to the people today. Hallelujah. Let it bring forth fruit. Hallelujah. Let yokes be broken. Hallelujah. Let hearts be healed. Oh, hallelujah. Let there be a revival in the hearts of your people. Thank you, Lord, because it is done. It is done. Hallelujah. The plantings of the Lord are coming forth right now. The stars of God are rising once more as they hear, hallelujah, the voice of the Almighty One. To you be all the glory. Amen. Amen. Praise God. While we are praying, I think the Lord showed you a vision for the church. You want to share it with the right. with the brethren.
Praise the Lord. As we were praying, I saw a sword. This sword is antique sword called
a spade.
Spade. Then by the side I saw an orange, but the orange, the inside of the orange,
the inner part,
the
of
inner it. Part of the orange. That was what the Lord revealed to the church. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen, hallelujah. A spade, a sword. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you have your sword in your hand, you are alert. Isn't it? When you hold your sword, you are alert. Praise God. God is calling us to watchfulness. And when you have that watchfulness in you, you begin to taste and see that the Lord is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us learn to be watchful, always having the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Always having the helmet of salvation and all the regalia that goes with the man that goes to battle, who is watchful in battle. May the Lord grant you grace in all your doings. Amen.
You to shine.